Hey everyone, this is the HopeCast from Hope Church RVA. I'm Rachel Dawson. I'm part of the communications team here at Hope, joined today by our senior pastor, David Dwight. We are here to have a conversation about common questions in life and faith in under 30 minutes. And today we're going to talk about when relationships feel distant. So like we've been sharing, this can happen from time to time in friendships, in family relationships, and in marriages. Mm-hmm. What do we do when there starts to feel like distance or space or maybe even tension between us and people we care about in our lives?
Yeah, I think there's a variety of different perspectives on this. Mm. One of them is to realize this is normal. Mm-hmm. It happens.
Yeah.
And so that can help turn a mountain into a molehill. It can take something that could feel really big,
yep,
and say, okay, let's like be sane about this.
Right.
This happens. Mm-hmm. It's pretty normal. And I find that it can be helpful just to start there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean our relationship is falling apart. It doesn't mean our marriage is doomed. It's like, this is normal.
Yeah.
Life goes through a lot of ups and downs and rhythms, mm-hmm, and all kinds of things like that.
Sure.
So sometimes I think relationships can come to a place of feeling distant for, let's say, identifiable or understandable reasons. Mm-hmm. Other times for reasons that we can't put our finger on,
yeah,
right? So an identifiable or understandable reason would be something as simple as we just haven't seen each other in a long time.
Yeah.
So I just feel like we're not really in touch with each other, don't really know what's going on in your life and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like, that doesn't have a lot of emotional electricity with it.
Right.
It's just an identifiable reason. Another reason might be, we did have a conflict,
mm-hmm,
and one of us hurt the other, or both of us hurt each other. And then that creates a hard space. It feels like a wall exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's emotional, and we're not quite sure how to try to get back at it. So I think maybe we can talk about that a little bit. How do we try to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you've been hurt, we've got the question of how do we try to reconcile when that kind of a breach or something painful has happened. Mm. Other times it's just moods and emotions.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think with like married couples, sometimes we're busy and we're starting to feel like it's two ships passing in the night.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got busy lives, maybe you've got children, you're just trying to keep the family enterprise going. It's driving and carpooling and appointments and school stuff and after school stuff and doctor's offices and on and on. And so you can just feel like you've sort of drifted apart.
Mm-hmm.
How do we try to be vigilant, you know, to try to correct that? So maybe a starting point also is a little bit of perspective taking, mm-hmm, on this.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we find other people to be challenging, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's start with this. This is true for me, and I'm going to guess it's true for you. Sometimes I find myself to be challenging.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I can't figure myself out.
Right.
And mm-hmm, so we are probably operating with a sense of, you know, hey, I'm just kind of easy, smooth sailing kind of person. And so when something's gotten difficult, it's because somebody else has been difficult.
Mm.
Well, look, we all have these internal conversations and problems where, if you could say it, you feel distant from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, or, you know, sometimes we could say, well, I find this person to be a difficult person. I don't really like them. I could say there are times where I find myself to be a difficult person and I don't really like me.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, sometimes I just think, okay, whoa, that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just start with realizing that.
Mm.
I think that basic idea probably happens to all of us to varying degrees.
Sure.
Okay. So then we can say, what is our perspective on relationships? What was I expecting or hoping or thinking,
mm-hmm,
this relationship would be like?
Yeah.
I'm trying to be really distinct here. One, what did I think or expect what it would be like? Secondly, what did I expect it would give me?
Mm-hmm.
Or let's make it a little more personal. What did I think you would give me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we've got a little bit of a challenge, right? Because our normal MO is self-centered.
Right.
What would you give me?
Mm-hmm.
As compared to what would I give you?
Yeah.
Right? I do think the big idea in the Bible of sin is that our normal MO is self-interest, mm-hmm. self-preference, self-first. Mm-hmm. We tend to see the world this way. Okay. So sometimes we have to have a clarifying conversation. Hey, maybe we had expectations about this relationship yeah. that are difficult. Or sometimes it's a conversation where one of us says to the other, I'm feeling some emotional distance, and I'm wondering if there's anything that I've done to contribute to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would probably be a relatively healthy starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes what we might be thinking is, I'm feeling emotional distance and it's your fault.
Right.
Well, what if it's my fault because of a blind spot or the way I treated you or mm-hmm. a way that I've hurt you?
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to try to do relationships at a pretty high level, I think we would start by asking,
mm-hmm.
is there anything that I've done mm-hmm. that has been hurtful to you?
Yeah.
And sometimes the thing that I've done might be a thing that I've done, or sometimes it's a thing I haven't done.
Right.
I was absent.
Yep.
Or I just wasn't there. I didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So relationships can get really complex because most of the time, when we're building relationships, there are a lot of invisible dynamics mm-hmm. or expectations that are brought into it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of forging a friendship is beginning to grow into talking about those expectations.
Yep.
Now, sometimes we'll talk about them. Sometimes we'll just realize we're operating at a similar level and it goes well.
Mm.
Other times we'll realize there's something missing here. I think one of us has different expectations than the other one of us. And usually when that happens,
mm-hmm.
one will withdraw a bit.
Yeah.
Like, this is feeling like too much for me,
mm-hmm.
right? Now you're at a really meaningful moment.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have a conversation about this?
Yeah.
To have a conversation about it would suggest this relationship has enough meaning
mm-hmm.
that we're both willing to do the work to have the conversation.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
But if somebody you had met once
mm-hmm.
At a party calls you 3 weeks later and said, our relationship isn't really proving to be what I hoped it would be.
Right.
You'd be like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what relationship?
What are you talking about?
Right? Yeah. So there's a lot of nuance to this.
Oh, yeah.
Each of us and our capacity to enter into sincere and even vulnerable space
uh-huh.
is going to play a part in how we move through this.
Yeah.
To me, I would almost say sincerity plus vulnerability equals intimacy.
Yeah.
What capacity do each of us have for intimacy?
Mm-hmm.
And people are different mm-hmm. in this way. So trying to have honest conversations
yeah.
to break through the distance. But I think if we wanted to say what's a kind of starting point, if it is a relationship that matters
mm-hmm.
and it matters to you
mm-hmm.
and you're feeling that kind of distance, probably the best way to try to approach it is humbly
yeah.
By asking the other one if there's anything I've done mm-hmm. to hurt you or create this distance. And if so, I'm really sorry about that.
Right.
And open the conversation that way.
Yeah. I actually have, as you're talking, it's bringing to mind a very, it's happened in my life pretty recently with my very close friend from college. And for a while there, I go to counseling weekly and she would always call me after and we'd have this great debrief. And it was always really meaningful to me that she cared to check in that same rhythm all the time. And in the last few weeks, it had kind of fallen off and we hadn't touched base. And I started to feel it, right? Like, oh, what's happened? She's not as close as we used to be. She used to call me every week. She hasn't in a while. What's going on here? And you're right. I appreciate that you shared it. It's a vulnerable space to sometimes be in to feel like, for me, there was this kind of thread or this voice in my head thinking like, well, you're needy if you ask for her to do that again, or if you reach out and wonder why she hasn't called, or you bring it up, like don't kind of show your soft, you know, underbelly to this person,
right.
Which is silly. She's a close friend. That's why I felt the distance, just because we've been so close. But to call her, you know, I kind of took the, like, she usually calls me every week, but okay, I'm going to call her. It's fine. And there was no big reason. She had forgotten what day of the week I'd had it one time and got off the habit and ultimately totally resolved. But it was a really beautiful conversation that we had where I said, like, it's been really meaningful to me that you've called every week on this rhythm. I've really appreciated it. And I felt the lack of it. And it matters to me that we, like, keep in touch regularly because we don't live in the same city. Can we get back to that? Can we just make Wednesday nights a thing? And she was, oh my gosh, yeah, that's great. I'll get on my calendar. Now we're good moving forward. But it was so helpful. She maybe didn't know how much it was meaningful to me. We had to kind of bring that to the conversation, bring it together and say, hey, this is what I would love to have happen. She was like, I'd love for that to happen too. Great. We're now on the same page. Mm-hmm. But if we had never talked about it, she might not have ever known that that was the most meaningful call I had every week.
Yeah.
So I appreciate what you're saying. So much of this really starts with having the communication, having the conversations and asking the questions of, hey, is there a reason you haven't called the last few weeks? Oh, nope. Life just got busy. Okay, good. Now, can we make that a rhythm? Yes. Great. Now we have a way to move forward and do it together.
Yeah. So relationships, I think by nature, they ask for, and I remember talking about this on a previous episode, they ask for a reasonable amount of parity, right? That we are coming into this with a reasonable amount of equal expectation of how much I will invest in this relationship, of how much I'm hoping to get out of it, of how hard I'm willing to work for it, right? So, and the more time we spend together and the more quality, the more we're building equity in the relationship. And relationships, to talk about things that are intimate or vulnerable, require a certain amount of trust to have been built up over time to sustain that level of personal exposure or sharing or interaction. But I do think, like, a question is, how am I pursuing this relationship? What are my expectations of it? Am I in this for what I can get out of it? Or am I in this for what I can give to it? And let's talk about, for instance, like in a marriage relationship.
Sure.
We have this marriage weekend class that Elizabeth and I and JG and Jill Carter, who are part of our church, teach, called The Book on Love. And it's really a picture, to the best of our ability, to say, what is a biblical picture of marriage? So there's a number of different topics that happen throughout the time we spend together. But one of them is this idea of, quote, the one. You know how people have in their mind, you know, somebody will be dating somebody and you'll say, hey, you know, tell me about the relationship. Seems like it's going well. And somebody will say, yeah, but I'm just not sure if he or she is the one. And to me, this is laden with difficulties. We all love the romantic idea of the one, but if we get into it a little more deeply, every so often, my wife accuses me of removing some of the sentiment from some things. I get that. I want to pay attention to that. But also, I do think there are some important issues to pay attention to. Look, so I love romance. I love the idea of a romantic idea. I love the idea that of the one. But let's take it out of sort of that the ether of emotion and bring it into something that we're really looking at. So if we're going to really play this idea out, the one means we believe that there is one person on the planet that God has for us. Okay. So there are approximately 3.5 billion people in that pool. We also, in religion or Christian circles, tend to amp this up by saying, who God has chosen for me. So now we've really amped this up. God has one person on the planet they've chosen for me. Okay, now when I get to sort of being a little bit playful, I'm like, well, if you just want to play the odds, that person's probably in China or India, because the odds are there's many, many, many more people there. So if you just want to play the odds, that person's probably there. So most people are like, oh, okay, I wasn't thinking that way. Okay, fine. So we have romantic pictures and, mm-hmm. you know, the whole idea of the one, right? But here's where this starts to break down. And I'm afraid I'm going to make some people go, oh, that makes me really sad. But hopefully it'll become very helpful. What we're actually saying with the one is God has one person who is perfect for me and will gratify me in every way, will be so custom made for me that they will meet my emotional needs. They will anticipate my thoughts and needs. They will gratify me in every way. There is no human being who can do that. And so if we had this idea of the one, and we amped it up by saying, God chose the one for me. When a marriage gets a little bit challenging, which all marriages will, if I was operating on that idea of the one, where do we go with this? I mean,
you're not it.
Oh my gosh, maybe I've made a mistake.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, maybe you are not the one.
Mm-hmm.
Never asking, maybe I'm not the one meeting their needs the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like, you're not meeting my needs the right way. So the whole idea of the one, it's very self-centered. It's a person who will gratify me in every way and meet all my needs.
Yeah.
Ultimately, underlying it, this fun romantic picture is a picture of what I'm going to get from you.
Mm-hmm.
A much healthier idea of a marriage relationship is I'm entering it for what I will give to you.
Mm.
I love you, and I want to give myself to you and you only until one of us dies. It's a very basic way of saying it. If each of us is entering on that premise, now we're not operating on a relationship where the primary driver is what I get from you. It's what I can give to you. So two people who are living their relationship by trying to get from each other, they're going to exhaust one another into the emptiness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Two people who are trying to say, I'm in it for what I can give to you, has a beautiful ascending kind of togetherness. It's not perfect. It's not always going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So part of why I'm going into all that is because sometimes it's the underpinning, the foundations upon which we premised this relationship, which is contributing to some of these factors.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was thinking my spouse is the one, I'll use my wife's Elizabeth's name, I'm going to ask her to be for me what no human being can be for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have place expectations on her and emotional pressure on her. In other words, I'm going to make a God figure out of her.
Mm.
I'm going to ask her to be what only God can be in my life. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is, that's going to contort her to be something she can't be.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to pressure her and make her feel guilty and make all kinds of problems in the relationship. So I've got to step back to say, look, only God knows me and can be God to my soul and my emotional needs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't ask Elizabeth to be that for me. So once I release her from being everything of meeting all my needs, now, actually, I can start to love her as a human being. And if she knows this dynamic too, then neither one of us is pressuring the other to be God for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're reasonably loving one another and receiving one another as limited human beings, which we both are. And now we're beginning to navigate the relationship very differently. So on the one hand, I know this is a little bit of a detour off when relationships feel distant, but sometimes these distances happen because we didn't even know that we had an emotional posture that's unspoken that was the foundation upon which this relationship was built, and that foundation is faulty,
mm-hmm.
and it's creating lots of these episodic difficulties.
Hmm.
So what do you think about that, Rachel?
My brain is, yeah.
You have an active brain. I know that about you. And I can like see smoke coming out of your ears. It's like burning a lot of fuel right now.
Well, it's interesting. As somebody who's not yet married, I think I've thought about that kind of posture and that thinking a lot and wondering what to do in some of those spaces where society and culture will try to say that there's a certain context or posture for how to think about things like that. And I think we say this often in different episodes that really the way of Jesus is so countercultural, and so much of what the threads kind of throughout this conversation are, is that there's a deeper, truer, better way to live than what the world might be telling us. And we might think, like we've said, if a relationship feels distant, it's that person's fault and they've wronged me and I'm going to turn away and I'm justified in my frustration or my anger. But what if instead there's a humility and a way to come to the person in kind of deference and have an honest conversation that just feels so different than what the world might even suggest? And I'm just struck by that.
I'm just thinking about Jesus' words, right? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we're hurt, it feeds the flesh to fuel the hurt. But ultimately, that goes to a more negative place.
Yeah.
Right? But let's say when somebody's hurt us, it feeds our flesh and makes us momentarily feel good to kind of fuel our anger. Right. But that never leads to healing, wholeness, and reconciled places. Mm-hmm. But let's just agree it's understandable. We all feel that from time to time. But if we name it, and say, yeah, I know, it feels good to do that, but let's try to come back to what we know is the place where we can have the best chance of healthy, reconciled relationships. So I'll give you a little picture. I officiated a wedding this past weekend, and it was the first time I've ever done a wedding, and the couple said they wanted to do a foot washing in the wedding as part of the wedding service. Okay, so this comes from John chapter 13, where Jesus is with the disciples. It's the Last Supper. And it says, Jesus, knowing all authority belonged to him, got down on his knees and he washed their feet. So think about that. Knowing all authority belonged to him, he gets down into this very humble place of service. Okay, feet are private. They tend to be personal places, not as personal as some places, but I think for most of us, your feet are not your hand. You know, it's not the same. So it's vulnerable and intimate to do this. So this couple, it was quite beautiful. And I think everybody at the wedding found it to be so. There's lots of jokes about foot washing stuff in Christian circles, right? Like it's too intimate, it's too uncomfortable. And yes, I don't think it's for everything everywhere, but it was really beautiful in this wedding service. And we had talked about this is a picture almost like a sacrament, which is an outward spiritual sign of an inward, an outward physical sign of an inward spiritual reality. They're saying by doing this in the wedding, it is my desire and my intention to serve you. And that's a reciprocal thing, right? So first he washed her feet and then they exchanged places. And when he washed her feet, he's down on his knee with a bowl and washing her feet. She's sitting in a chair. Then they switch places. It was intimate and beautiful, and it really felt quite sacred. And there were even some youngish people close to this. And I thought they're going to be like laughing or making jokes or they couldn't handle it. It was really amazing how I looked at everybody who was there at the wedding, and everybody seemed to be struck that this had a kind of sacred beauty to it. So it's a picture of relationships if we're able to get there. And as you said, Jesus taught us to do it this way.
So I think as we kind of start to land this, I'm wondering if there are relationships that have a distance that might be insurmountable or unable to be reconciled. What would you maybe say to the people who feel like, I don't know if I can? You know, you're saying there's some steps. You're asking these, you're, you know, presenting these questions, these conversations, this way of communicating, managing expectations. But I guess my question even is, are there relationships where you would say, you know what, here are maybe some ways you might know if it, the distance is too great or too much, or is that not true? And that the Lord can redeem and reconcile any amount of distance. What would you kind of say to the people who are wondering, like, I don't know if it's possible here?
Yeah. Well, the question of, I don't know if it's possible here, to me lands on several fronts. One of them is there an issue of forgiveness involved here? Has there been such a hurt that actually we're now talking about forgiveness, right? So we kind of call this podcast when a relationship feels distant. That's a little bit different than when somebody's been harmed to the degree that now we're going to need to talk about forgiveness. What does forgiveness mean? How do we do this? I think that's probably another conversation for another day. But I do think something to be thoughtful of is yes, wherever possible, we want to have harmonious relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And some of the New Testament letters say this kind of thing, wherever possible, be at peace with all people. But isn't it interesting? It says wherever possible. Mm. It doesn't say always absolutely with no exceptions. Mm-hmm. Human life is complex. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth and I were having a conversation a few weeks ago about some people we know, and she just came out with this three-word sentence. And we were quiet for a minute, and she said, love is hard. Mm. And I was like, say that again? She said, love is hard. And I said, say more about what you're thinking as mm-hmm. what brought those words forth. She started saying more. I'm like, I don't know that I've ever heard that three-word sentence spoken quite that way. Mm. Love is hard. It's true. It is. It's also beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's also the most important thing. It's also the most worth working for, but it's hard. Not all relationships are made for us to have an enduring stay in touch for the rest of our lives relationship. Mm-hmm. There are relationships that are for a season in our lives. Mm-hmm. There are friendships where the circumstances will be such that we really enjoyed this friendship and it was about 5 or 6 years. Maybe one of us moved or life just changed a bit mm-hmm. and we're no longer in each other's lives in the mm-hmm. same way. That's okay. It doesn't mean there was some big breach. Mm-hmm. It's like the season has changed. Mm-hmm. There are also other relationships where good people are going to try hard to have a harmonious conclusion, mm-hmm. but we're going to recognize that this is probably the last of how we're staying in touch with each other. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a hardship or a conflict. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these types of things particularly will happen in the work world, mm-hmm. where there's a difficult scenario at work and a departure happens. Good people will try to have meaningful conversations that are sincere and caring. At the same time, we know we're not likely to stay in touch and this is not likely to go on mm-hmm. and we're going to be in each other's lives. I think practically speaking, mm-hmm. that's true to the way life is going to go. Mm-hmm. So yes, we want to make an effort knowing we're probably parting ways. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to do it in a way that expresses care and appreciation and harmony, mm-hmm. but we're probably not going to stay in touch. Does it mean it's easy? No. Is there grief over these things? For me, there is. But I also think it is true of life. And to be able to accept that mm-hmm. is also an important thing to do from time to time. Mm-hmm. Henry Cloud, I think, who some people may know, has written a lot of books. He's a counselor. He wrote a book called Necessary Endings. Mm. Okay, so I'll just throw it out there. You can read it. It's called Necessary Endings by Henry Cloud or John Townsend, because those guys are partners. They wrote a lot of stuff together. It's a meaningful book. So maybe we end by saying love is hard. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. It's the most important thing there is mm-hmm. in existence, and it's worth working for.
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening today. We invite you to subscribe to the Hopecast in your favorite podcast app and maybe share this episode with a friend. Maybe it can start a conversation or give you some tools to reconcile and redeem some of those relationships that might feel distant. If you want to learn more about Hope and who we are, you can find us online at hopechurchrva.com, and we hope you'll join us for the next one.